वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम फोर्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 23 टेक्स्ट 16 खानि आकाशे द्रवं तोये यथा स्थानं विभागश क्षितिं अम्भसि तत् तेजसि अदौ वायौ नभसि अमुम् कन्याकाशे द्रवं तोये यथा स्थानं विभागश क्षितिम् अम्बसि तत्तेजसि अदो वायो नभस्यमुम् कान्याकाशे द्रवं तोये यथा स्थानं विभागश क्षितिम् अम्बसि तत्तेजसि अदो वायो नभस्यमुम् कान्याकाशे द्रवं तोये यथा स्थानं विभागश क्षितिं अम्भसि तत्तेजसि अदो वायौ नभस्यमुम् आकाशे द्रवं तोये Kani. The different holes in the body for the sense organs. Akashe. In the sky. Dravam. The liquid substance. Doye. In the water. Yatastanam. According to proper situation. Vibhagasha. As they are divided. Kshitim. Earth. Ambhasi. In the water. Tat. That. Tejasi. In the fire. Adak. The fire. Vayo. In the air. Nabhasi. In the sky. Amum. That. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this way, according to the different positions of the various parts of the body, Prithu Maharaj merged the holes of his senses with the sky. His bodily liquids, such as blood and various secretions, with the totality of water, and he merged earth with water, then water with fire, fire with air, air with sky, and so on. Purport. In this verse, two words are very important. Yatasthanam vibhagasha. In Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, fifth chapter, Lord Brahma clearly explained to Narada how the creation took place. And he explained one step after another the proper divisions of the senses, the controller of the senses, the objects of the senses, and the material elements. And he also explained how they are created one after another. The air from the sky, the fire from the air, the water from the fire, the earth from the water, etc. It is important to know thoroughly the process of creation as it applies to this cosmic manifestation. It is important. Similarly, this body is also created according to the same process by the Supreme Lord. The personality of Godhead, after entering the universe, creates the cosmic manifestations one after another. Similarly, the living entity, after entering a womb of a mother, also collects his gross and subtle bodies, taking ingredients from the totality of sky, air, fire, water, and earth. The words yatasthanam vibhagasha indicate that one should know the process of creation and should meditate upon the creative process inversely, and thus become free from material contamination. I'll repeat that last phrase, last sentence, which is very important. The words yatasthanam vibhagasha indicate that one should know the process of creation and should meditate upon the creative process inversely and thus become free from material contamination. Interesting. Om Jnanatimarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayang Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatapadakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitanscha He Krishna Kuruna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshpare Ritabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpattarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha nama om vishnu padaya krishna prishtaya bhutale shrimate bhakti vedanta swaminiti namane namaste saraswati deve gauravani pracharine nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya deshatarine jaya sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shivasari gauravakta vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukungaro divachalam kongam longe te girim yakripata maham bande, Shigurum dinatanam paramananda madhavam shi chaitanya ishwaram. Om Tat Sat. Kanya kashe dravam toye yathasthanam vibhagasham. Kshiting ambasi tattejas yadho vayo nabhasyamum. Please repeat Spanish. In this way, according to the different positions of the various parts of the body, Prithu Maharaj merged the holes of his senses with the sky. His bodily liquids, such as blood and various secretions, with the totality of water. And he merged earth with water, then water with fire, fire with air, air with sky, and so on. So I'll briefly make some comments about this verse. Today is Bhishmashtami, the appearance day of Bhishma Devi. So maybe we can speak somewhat about his appearance, activities, instructions. Here we are witnessing the leaving of Prithu Maharaj. When great devotees leave, it's a very auspicious moment, and their instructions and the way they are leaving is very, very important for us. So, also Bhishma Dev's leaving was also very important. So, we can maybe touch some points there also. What's important here, Prabhupada is mentioning how the process of the creation. How it's important to know the process of creation, how the material elements come into being, which is in the second canto, fifth chapter, so that we may apply, as he mentions in this verse, the inverse of that. So how things are created and how things are then go back to their material elements. So Krishna, he also starts his preaching in the Bhagavad Gita by this explanation that we're not this material body, and that we must purify ourselves of the gross and subtle material coverings in order to reveal our true spiritual identity as eternal servants of Krishna. So this process of understanding how the creation takes place, and how it inversely, how we can, it's almost like undressing the soul's material coverings before leaving this body. So when we become new devotees, we stress this point, we understand this point about we're not this material body, but afterwards it sort of gets pushed to the side. Here, we are seeing that the Maharaj Prithu is meditating how he is not this material body nor the subtle body, but a spirit soul. Also, for deity worship, we meditate how we are doing service to Krishna. The soul is actually doing service to Krishna beyond this material, the influence of this false ego, material body, and senses. So our process is a process of purification, or what is it? Shedding the these shedding these coverings. You know. And as it will be revealed further on, and as we know, the Lord Chaitanya's process for this shedding is explained in the Shikshastika, Cheto Dharapana Marjanam Bhava Mahada Bhavni Nirvam. It's like dust, but get cleansing this dust from you through the chanting of the holy name. So that is our process of cleansing the false ego, the subtle influences of the material nature. And this is this inverse process. You know, we are, in one sense, coming into the womb, collecting material elements, gross and subtle, putting them on, you know, and at the end of life, we are taking them off. So this is very difficult for someone who is not spiritually advanced. He becomes very bewildered by this. But someone who is takes advantage of this point in his life, he can benefit very greatly by giving up this concept of giving up everything. Now, Prithu Maharaj, after reigning for so many years successfully, a very strong leader, incarnation in this sense, it's explained that the same fervor and strength, kshatriya strength he had to rule, that same strength he applied to his spiritual advancement. And then he made arrangements to go to a tapovan. Tapovan is a van is a forest, but these are special forests made for tapasya, or spiritual advancement, specially made. And he went alone to the forest. Of course, he went with his wife, and that, which is a, they said is the same, because they're one unit, so they went together to reach perfection, to show how to reach perfection. So here he is, he had, as Bhishma did, Prithu Maharaj had the ability to choose when he would leave his body. You know? Not everyone has that choice, or has that power to do so. Although a devotee is given all power by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sometimes he takes a humble position and he says to Krishna, when you want to take me, you take me. Like that. Prabhupada had that mood, you know, when Krishna wants to take me, he'll take me like that. So that's also valid. Here, Prithu Maharaj, Bhishma also was choosing. I think Haridas Thakur also chose when he was going to leave. Very auspicious moments they chose, you know, when to leave. They're both valid for devotees. Both leaving, auspicious leavings, are very valid and appropriate for devotees. You know. We can get into a little of that later on about talking about Bhishma Dev and his last instructions, which are very interesting, which are from the first canto, ninth chapter. So we can explain a little bit about Bhishma Dev's appearance. And activities. So this is Bhishmastami today. So in ancient times, there was a king named Mahisha. And Mahisha, he was a very pious king. He performed great austerities and sacrifices. And he was promoted to Indra's abode, celestial planets, at the end of his life. So once in an assembly, Mahishu was there with Lord Brahma was there presiding, all the demigods. And at that point, Ganga comes in. Ganga, very beautiful, attractive. And at that point, a wind comes and blows her garments away. So without blowing the garments away, Ganga is very captivating. But when the garments were away, it was, you know, so all the demigods, they looked away. They were very respectful, you know, they hid their faces and turned away like that. Except for Mahishu, who was very, he was like, you know, he was stunned, you know, he was just completely stunned, you know, by her beauty. You know. And Brahma said to him, well, because this is an offense. So sometimes we think that in the celestial planets, you know, it's very easy going, but, you know, every little, some little subtle thing and you're thrown again into the material world. Oh, let's go up there, it's nice, you know. And we'll see, you know, also in this story we'll learn about the Vasus, who also did something similar. But, I mean, Mahishu, you know, he was the new boy on the block, you know. He you know, here is Ganga, you know. He was like, we say in Spanish, embobado. He became babbling fool, you know. So Brahma cursed him that you will have to be born on earth. But you one life you will be there. And one life then you can come back, no problem. So he remembered Mahishu about the different, because he was a monarch on earth, and he remembered different monarchs at that time. And he requested that he be the son of King Pratip. And this was his request to Lord Brahman. Brahma said, okay, you can do that. Now Ganga, when she saw that Mahishu was so, had so much desire for her, she became, this sort of like kept, it was in her mind about this after she left, you know. She's saying, well, how, this is interesting. And she was contemplating this, that maybe there, maybe something's there, you know. At that point, she meets the Vasus. And the Vasus, who had also been recently cursed by Vasishta, I think, Vasishta Muni, because they had stolen his Kamadena, his Surabhi cow. So the eight Vasus were also lamenting about this, that they would have to go to the material world also to take birth. And then, you know, here again, you know, another case where they did a little something, and that's, you know. So Vasishta, when he found out that they were, that his cow was stolen, he cursed them. They, of course, lamented, they became remorseful, they went to him and they said, oh, please, make some arrangement, you know, take it back, give us, do something, you know, give us some. And he said to them, he said, okay, what I'll do, because they were, Prabhupada says if someone steals something, the first thing to do is give it back what you stole. So that's, you know, so they did that. So he was a little more merciful towards them. They realized they were did something wrong. So one must, this remorse is important. So he said to them, well, what I'll do is this. You will be born there quickly and come right back. In other words, you won't have to spend a lifetime there. You just go and you'll quickly come back. Seven of you. But Diao, who was the principal, Diao's wife wanted the Kamadena. She was like a henpecked, you know, and the wife said, I want that Kamadena. Get it for me. And he, I don't care. So because he was henpecked like this, and he was the main pusher of getting the cow. What we call this, the material author of the crime, let's say. He was the main pusher of the crime. So he got his sentence was a full lifetime there. And I guess because his wife was, he was pushed by his wife, he would have no relationship with women at all during this time there. Diao. Okay. So, when Ganga speaks with them, they ask Ganga, they said, my dear Ganga, please, we do not want to be born in the womb of a human mother. I guess you know this process we're talking about in the purport. You know, it's very, very painful and process. They knew about it very, so they didn't want to like that. So please, you be our mother. You be our mother. We will be born in the family of Pradeep, but his son, the prince, will be Santanu. And Ganga knew that Mahishu would be born as Santanu. So in this way, she would be able to be with him and at the same time help the Vasus in their coming, you know, quickly coming back, you know. So, as it turns out, the Santanu, it's explained that he was hunting and in the forest, and there he sees Ganga there, and it's explained his jaw drops and his eyes sort of bug out, you know. Again, you know, sometimes you see these cartoons with them, come on, and that type of thing. He became very enamored, or you call these the arrows of Cupid, you know, like struck him on all sides. Yeah. So he was like, yeah. And he immediately inquired about her, like this, what, who are you, where, you know, and he immediately proposed marriage. Immediately. He didn't want, no wasting of time. You know. And Ganga put her head down and says, yes, but there are some conditions. This is one of the first examples of what we call a prenuptial agreement, you know. Prenup. Ganga's prenup. She said, yes, but there are some conditions. First of all, if I do something you don't understand, I don't want you to scold me or yell at me because you don't understand what's going on. I may do something that you don't understand. Just forget about it. Let it go. Okay? That's the only condition. Of course, Santana was so mesmerized that he would sign anything, of course. So, all right, why not? You know, he didn't even think what it meant, you know. So as time went on, and as nature would have it, there was a son born. Now, as you know, in any kingdom, the son, you know, the heir, the parent, the prince, you know, is being born in this place. It's like, oh, it's like a big thing, you know. Even beforehand, it's like a whole, it's a very important thing. It's how his reign will be continued. It was a very important thing. So finally, the prince is born, and Ganga takes him to the Ganges and throws him in. It's finished. And Santanu sort of looks, what's happened? remember the prenup, she says. Remember? Okay. He was still, I guess, enthused by the relationship. So he said, okay. Right. So this happened every year. Every year she would throw, you know, and the life would be finished, you know. Kill the children like this, you know. So, of course, these were the Vasus who were finishing their life like that. So they're finishing, like they're going back. So the eighth son comes, and at this point, Santanu could not contain himself. He said, what are you doing? You're crazy. This is irreligious. This is sinful. How can you do this? He scolded her and said, stopped her from doing it. And she said, well, remember the agreement. Now it's finished. Ciao. Goodbye. So I'm going. It's finished. Here's your child. You know, he gave it to him. And then she explained to him what had happened, you know, how, you know, about the Vasus and the whole thing. So then he understood. And then he asked for her to take the child with her so he may be trained up in the celestial kingdom by great sages and and others. So she got custody of the child. Then the arrangement was when he was a youth, he would come back to the father. So that was the arrangement. So she then took him to the spiritual, the celestial kingdoms. Time went by, and of course, he was, Santana was somewhat depressed because his wife, who he was very attached to, and his only heir, they were gone, and he was left alone. So he waited out. Santanu Maharaj was famous that anyone who was afflicted or had some difficulty, just by he would touch them and they would completely change their life. He would completely become enlivened and their luck would, their destiny would change. He was such an auspicious ruler, it's explained. So time went on. And once Santana was out hunting again, he noticed that the Ganges was completely dried up, except for like a little trickle. It was not moving at all. And so he walked up the bank to see what it was. And there he saw that the Ganges was dammed up with arrows. And that must have been a lot of arrows. I mean, to dam the whole Ganges with arrows. So the whole Ganges was dammed with arrows. And there was this beautiful youth standing there with a big bow there, like that. So he approached and then he disappeared, the boy. And then he said, then he called out the Ganga to bring the boy forward. And she came holding his hand. She gave him the boy, and that was, what was his name before? Deva Vrata, it was the name before. Okay. So that's the story of his appearance. How he got the name Bhishma, that's an interesting story. Santanu again was hunting, and he had he shouldn't have been hunting so much. Not so much trouble going on. So he had suddenly, while he was hunting, he smelled this fantastic celestial fragrance. It was not of this world. It was like completely, it captivated him completely. And he found that it was emanating, coming from this beautiful, the beautiful daughter of a fisherman, who was, rowing the boats. You see some of these boats. A fisherman has a daughter there, but she was very beautiful, and she had this beautiful scent that was coming. I think it was a boon I think she received. So he became again, Santana was completely, he became mesmerized again, And he immediately went to the father and proposed marriage. Now, normally, in a situation like that, poor fisherman, here the king of the whole world comes and wants to marry your daughter. One thinks, wow, that's a nice opportunity to elevate our status. So the father, but in this case, the father said, I don't think so. I don't think it's a good idea because, she'll be just like someone in, second tier there. And she won't be so important. And, he was not so enthusiastic. And Satyavati saw him leave, and he was very dejected. He was very sad that he didn't have success, with the father. Future father-in-law. So she also started meditating on marrying the king. And the king, of course, was lamenting that he had, maybe he was, what is the word? Unlucky in love? Was it? He has some bad karma with loving relationship. At that point, his son, who was David Rudd at the time, heard about what had happened, and he approached the fisherman, because his complaint was that because David Rutter was there, his son would become the heir to the throne and not his daughters. So actually, her position would not be very good. That was his logic. So David Rutter went and he said, look, I will make this vow. I will not marry. I will not have children. Will that satisfy you? He did this for as service to his father, so his father was able to marry this. And he agreed. He said, okay, then it can be done. So that vow, terrible vow. Terrible vow in the sense that Kshatriyas, they usually have wives and like that. And in this case, he was giving up. He decided to be a lifelong brahmachari. So he decided at that point to give up any attachment to women, which was also the curse of Vashishtha. It was also part of the curse that Vashishtha made, that he would not have any connection with women. Due also to the fact that he had followed the wife had given him some, so he, like this, was taken away from that privilege of having that association. So in this way, he gave up and Bhishma means he who has made a terrible vow, I think it's a terrible vow. Some may think it's not so horrible. But. So that's the story. Of course, the story of Bhishma in relation to the Pandavas and in the Mahabharata, how he was the grandfather Bhishma, who was the when Pandu passed away. And the Pandavas went to Hastinapur. It was one of the persons that took them under his wing specifically was Bhishma Dev, and taught them so many things, and took them on as his wards, so to speak. Bhishma Dev, of course, was a great devotee, is one of the 12 Mahajans, the Pandavas also are great devotees, so sort of like a bhakta program, Bhishma Dev's bhakta program, Pandavas come and it sort of helps them out, and, and he was very enthused to do that. It was very difficult for him to fight against the Pandavas in the battle of Kurukshetra, although he felt obligated to the ruling party at the time. Still, he, even while he was fighting, he tried to give some advantage always to the Pandavas, and he was accused by Duryodhana of not fighting to his full. You're not fighting fully to. You're holding back. It was like that. And of course, you can understand the relationship that Bhishma had with the Pandavas was such that it was difficult for him. Then, of course, he was undefeatable in battle, and he had the boon of choosing when he would leave himself. So, more or less, he allowed himself to be defeated. Otherwise, he couldn't have been defeated. He was so powerful. He allowed himself to be defeated. He also obligated Krishna, although technically he didn't take up weapons. Krishna made a vow not to take up weapons, but he he made Krishna get off the chariot and try to defend Arjuna. So in one sense, he was breaking his vow, and Bhishma Dev, he meditated on this, the form of Krishna breaking his vow for his devotee. So it's said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is equanimous, or he's equal to everyone, he sees everyone equally, but at the same time, he favors his devotees. So in this way, Bhishma Dev meditated on this Krishna coming at him with the chariot wheel. You can see the painting downstairs, Krishna like this. So this was, for his devotee, Krishna would break his own vow. His devotee was more important than his own vow, which is interesting about morality. Interesting point about morality. So, then Bhishma allows himself to be defeated. Of course, he was, as you see, so many arrows are through him. So many arrows are through his body that they're like a bed. He just lies down, and the arrows are like the bed. You know? So he's there, and he is waiting for a particular auspicious time to leave. And he waits there, and it is arranged that Brahmins and different devotees, they are there around him during this time to help and give him whatever he wants or needs are fulfilled at that time. And they're chanting and like that. So he's there. Even during, I think, the battle, he's still there and waiting. So the battle finishes, and then Krishna suggests, because Yudhishthir, after the battle of Kurukshetra, felt very bad. That he felt bad that everything, so many men had died. He felt a little bad about this. So Krishna says to him, "Let's go to Bhishma. He will give you instructions, so you will not be so despondent." You know. So they go. This is in the first canto, ninth chapter. What? Okay. And his instructions. It's interesting that Srila Prabhupada, when he left, he also was explaining about Varnashram. It's very interesting. And Bhishma also was touching about this point about Varnashram. I find it very interesting. I'll give you one verse I'll read one verse to you about Bhishma Dev's instructions, how Prabhupada gives in the purport a summary of those, of his instructions. So it's very interesting. At Maharaj Yudhishthir's inquiry, Bhishma Dev first defined all the classifications of castes and orders of life in terms of the individual's qualifications. Then he systematically, in twofold divisions, described counteraction by detachment and interaction by attachment. What? Purport. The conception of four castes and four orders of life, as planned by the Lord himself, Bhagavad Gita 4.13, is to accelerate transcendental qualities of the individual person so that he may gradually realize his spiritual identity and thus act accordingly to get free from material bondage or conditional life. In almost all the Puranas, the subject matter is described in the same spirit, and so also in the Mahabharata, it is more elaborately described by Bhishma Dev in the Shanti Parva, beginning from the 60th chapter. The Varnashram Dharma is prescribed for the civilized human being just to train him to successfully terminate human life. Self-realization is distinguished from the life of the lower animals engaged in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. Bhishma Dev advised for all human beings 9 qualifications. This is very interesting. And those qualifications are: 1, don't become angry. 2, don't lie. 3, equally distribute wealth. 4, be forgiving. 5, beget children only by one's legitimate wife. 6, be pure in mind and clean in body, hygienically clean. 7, don't be inimical toward anyone. 8, to be simple. And 9, to support servants or subordinates. And Prabhupada says, one cannot be called a civilized person without acquiring the above-mentioned preliminary qualities. Besides these, the Brahmins, the intelligent men, the administrative men, the mercantile community, and the laborer class must acquire special qualities in terms of occupational duties mentioned in all the Vedic scriptures. It's interesting, these are the instructions of Bhishma Dev in the Mahabharata. Prabhupada is summarizing them. The devotee, just quickly, devotee who controls his senses, who knows that he is, he meditates on the fact that he is not this material body. And at the same time cleanses himself of these, of the material contamination by chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. And in this way, he leaves his body, meditating on the holy name and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is exemplified, of course, in the passing of Haridas Thakur, who meditated on the, who also left at the time he wanted to, meditating on the lotus-like face of the Lord, chanting, and I think his Lord's feet was he put on his heart at the same time. And like this, any devotee can employ that process. Maybe we won't have the choice, but we should be ready to at any time leave this material covering and reverse the process, knowing we must meditate on how we are not this material body, but we are simply eternal servants of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments, corrections, additions, subtractions?
For the eighth child, then, she must have known that this one doesn't need to go back, but did she already know that he was going to, I mean, anyway, maybe it's not described, but...
I don't know. I'm sure she knew, yeah.
That he was going to stop her. And, anyway.
I don't know. Was she holding him over the water? I don't know. Of course, she knew that she knew that this eighth son was Diao. She knew that. You knew that.
Does Bhishma go back to Godhead?
Huh?
What's the steps to have after he leaves the world?
Let's see what it says in the scriptures. Let's see what it says here. Here's a nice verse. Prayana kale manasachalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva Ruvor madge pranam avesha samyak satam parang purusham upaita divyam. One who at the time of death fixes his life air between the eyebrows by the strength of yoga with an undeviating mind engages himself in remembering the Supreme Lord in full devotion and will certainly attain to the Supreme Personality of God. The Prabhupada states, in this verse it is clearly stated that at the time of death the mind must be fixed in devotion to the Supreme Personality of God. For those practicing yoga, it is recommended that they raise the life force between the eyebrows to the Agya Chakra. This is the practice being done by Prithviraj. The practice of Sat Chakra Yoga involving meditation on the six chakras is suggested here. A pure devotee does not practice such yoga, but because he is always engaged in Krishna consciousness, at death, he can remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his grace. This is explained in verse 14. The particular use of the word yoga balena is significant in this verse because without practicing yoga, whether chakra yoga or bhakti yoga, one cannot come to this transcendental state of being at the time of death. One cannot suddenly remember the Supreme Lord at death. One must have practiced some yoga system, especially the system of bhakti yoga. Since one's mind at death is very disturbed, one should practice transcendence through yoga during one's life. So it's evident that he went to Krishna, being a pure devotee. Did he practice Krishna consciousness in the celestial realm as one of the vasus afterwards? That may be the question. How was he later engaged in devotional service, either in the celestial planets or did he go to the supreme abode? That's an interesting question. I don't know if anyone has an answer to that, but let me see. We have all these apparatuses that give us information, these little things, and this and that. And, let's see what it says here. This is the 9th, 1-9. Thus, here. You want to hear Bhishma Dev's last words? Now I can meditate with full concentration upon that one Lord Sri Krishna, now present before me, because now I have transcended the misconceptions of duality in regard to his presence in everyone's heart, even in the hearts of the mental speculators. He is in everyone's heart. The sun may be perceived differently, but the sun is one. Suta Goswami said, thus Bhishma Dev merged himself in the Supersoul, Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with his mind, speech, sight, and actions, and thus he became silent and his breathing stopped. Knowing that Bhishma Dev had merged into the unlimited eternity of the Supreme Absolute, all present there became silent like birds at the end of the day. Thereafter, both men and demigods sounded drums in honor, and the honest royal order commenced demonstrations of honor and respect, and from the sky fell showers of flowers. Of course, this is not an impersonal merging. don't think that Bhishma Dev merged impersonally to the... That was not happening. It didn't happen. There is a going to Krishna. We call it merging, but it's not exactly the same. Nrsingha Kavach Prabhu.
There's a reference in the Nabadi Baba Taranga, Dr. Nantaka. And Bhishma Dev came here to get instructions from Janamuni.
Afterwards? Or before?
When he was a young man, he came here to study under Janamuni. That's
okay.
Why he gave Yudhisthira so much knowledge. He had learned from Janamuni.
Here?
Yeah, Navadvip.
Navadvip.
The other side of the Ganges.
Okay, okay.
So, he said when Krishna came to see him, when he was lying on the bed of arrows, that he whispered something to Bhishma Dev that, because you visited Navadvip, a very, very sacred place of mine, upon leaving your body, you'll get the body to, in Navadvip, you can serve in Navadvip Dham. So he has, it's described he has a blackish body, like Krishna's, with a...
So he took birth, you know...
Lord Pila, yeah, from Himalaya and the chants.
Interesting. What was, who did he come as?
I
don't remember
specifically.
Yeah, I seem to remember reading something like that.
And also there's a, Prabhupada said there's a planet called the Bhagasarathi Loka. Where all the Kshatriyas, they can also go there also.
So maybe he's at that planet.
I think he mentioned.
It says about that, you know, that king who was sleeping in the cave, and then Muchikunda, yeah, when Muchikunda would have to go and do austerities to purify himself from his, because he was a Kshatriya and he killed a lot of things, so Kshatriyas had a lot of karma, so he had to take birth again as a Vaishnava before he could go back to Godhead. Which, that's there in Krishna book, isn't it? About Muchikunda, that he was going to purify himself. Is it proper that there's a planet for all the Kshatriyas?
In the purport to 1944, Prabhupada says that Bhishma Dev went to the planet in Vaikuntha Loka, where the Lord resides as Parashakti, because when he left his body, he was remembering the Lord in that form of Parashakti. So he's always got that remembrance of Krishna. So what we're saying is, yeah, keep it safe.
Bhishma Dev, as a pure devotee of the Lord, entered the spiritual realm in one of the Vaikuntha planets, where the Lord in his eternal form of Partha Sarathi predominates over the unconditioned living beings who are constantly engaged in the service of the Lord. The love and affection which bind the Lord and devotee are exhibited in the case of Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev never forgot the Lord in his transcendental feature as the Partha Sarathi, and the Lord was present personally before Bhishma Dev while he was passing to the transcendental world. That is the highest perfection of life. Now, there is a concept, just like we were explaining, that he also became manifest somehow in afterwards in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Is that? And also he had, what happened to his life as Diao, who, when the curse was finished, how what happened there? Is there a simultaneous, can someone simultaneously be engaged, be in different places? I think we have several examples of this, which is an interesting concept to meditate, how this is possible, that one person is in at different time, at one time is in different situations. Just like we have in the Gaura Ganodesh Deepika, we have information of different devotees in Krishna Lila who are also present in, at the same time. So here's an example of three places that unless Diao, as in one of the Vastus, went to, was elevated. It's an interesting point to be studied or understood. Right. That's a simultaneous thing. But here it's an indication there are three things. I don't know. Anyway, whatever the...
They have their the prototype, the original spiritual association of the Lord. And then there's demigods, and they appear again. And then when the Lord winds up his pastimes, that portion goes back to the demigod, and another portion goes back to the spiritual world again. It's like there's one person, but they expand into a different...
So this would be like a CD?
Yeah, well, originally they're spiritual personalities. From the spiritual world, the associates of the Lord.
Well, I think in all cases, in any lila that they're in, their spiritual personality is dead, definitely. But this concept of how it's possible that simultaneously they're, unless it's due to some power that, I mean, as far
no,
as...
No, but they're not aware. The demigods are not aware of their original form. And when they expand into somebody else, they may not be aware of that. They take on that particular role. At that particular time.
Unless it's because of the time phase difference. And it's just someone's like, you know, and then Prabhupada mentioned that once. It's like, you know, enthusiasm when you come up with it. Unless it's... Because evidently they have some existence in the celestial planet. At the same time, they're expanding. So we know expansion by how the Supreme Lord expands, you know. But how the living entity can expand also, unless it's by some siddhi, it's not very clear, I think. I mean, just a point of... It's not... in any case, we're talking about specifically spiritually potent personalities who in any condition or any situation are manifesting that spiritual potency. So... That spiritual potency is for us important. It's more. It has priority as far as importance is concerned. That's the way I sort of like my take on this whole thing. But it's an interesting concept that I hope Krishna will reveal further how this is possible. The inconceivable nature of Krishna. And the inconceivable nature of his devotees, I'm sure. Okay, Hare Krishna. No other questions? Oh, Mataji, sorry. Let's give a...
Yesterday we were commenting about being indebted, and we were discussing and thought, well, we are indebted to the spiritual master, and we are thankful to all the devotees, because someone had mentioned of being thankful to being indebted to all the devotees and thankful to the spiritual master. I don't know, maybe not very important thing, but if you could comment something on this?
In the material world, we have debts. If you receive water, you should be pay for the water, right? So in the same way, everyone is receiving things, and they have to somehow or other pay for them. So in that sense, there is a debt to the demigods. Of course, as a devotee, everything is fulfilled because we are under Krishna's protection. So that indebtedness is taken. That debt is wiped by Krishna. He absorbs it, of course. We are depositing into Krishna's, and Krishna is giving everyone. So. Krishna's account, so everything is taken care of like that. So for devotee, there is no debt. That doesn't mean he's irresponsible and, you know, he doesn't honor his mother and father or whatever. He still is a gentleman. There is a question of respect also. Amanina manadena. We have to respect others. And amanina, not look for respect for ourselves. So if we try to understand how other devotees are gloriously serving the Supreme Lord and meditate on those good qualities, our respect for them will increase. And of course, we are not interested in respect for ourselves. You know, we don't get angry. Oh, why didn't they give me the ghee lamp first? I'm an older devotee. You know, so I'm the old man. Why didn't they give me the first? Offensive. Rather, we're thinking, oh no, they should have. Everyone should have it first before I. Everyone deserves it before. Well, this devotee has done so many wonderful things. He's done this and that. So I'm thinking, how many things he's done for Prabhupada, for Krishna, like that. So in this way, instead of making an accounting of everything bad someone has done, we do an accounting of everything good he's done for Krishna. And that's what Krishna does also. Krishna doesn't see the bad things. They don't have weight. The weight is the devotional service someone does. So if someone may have made some difficulty, that difficulty is not important to Krishna. But the important thing is his devotional service. So we also must think like that, how someone is doing devotional service and how we can appreciate that. That even a small, just like we see downstairs some crazy person with the chari and like this, you know. So, you know, I was been watching the devotees, how they react to me. But then, and also their reaction, what they say, you know, and devotees say, well, he's chanting, you know, he's respectful, he's chanting, you know, certain things they say which are positive, you know. And I guess Krishna lets him do that because he's not offensive and he's, you know, there's something positive there. There's something positive that devotees, you know. So we should look for the Gyadvaman Shantim Richati. We will be peaceful by this process. That we will become peaceful. You won't become agitated, your mind. Like with this viewpoint. You know? And you will want to associate with all different types of devotees because you will appreciate that even new devotees or not so good devotees, they have something to offer, something to give. You'll go to all the classes because you know Krishna will speak to through anyone. You see? And you'll get more mercy like that. Amanina manadena. That's how to chant continually. Kirtaniyak sadahari. That's how to do devotional service for many years. The secret of doing devotional service. Otherwise you become agitated. How can I be here? How can I... This guy's crazy. He's too heavy. He's this, that, ba, ba, ba. You know, I can't live like this. And we go away. No. But if I appreciate everyone's devotional service, I'll be enthused whoever I'm with in Krishna consciousness. Okay, we'll stop here. No? After you... Should we also leave at an auspicious moment? That's what you're saying? It's not specifically prescribed for us to do that. That we have to leave at a particular... As I explained, there are two ways. One is You can choose the time. If you're a great yogi, you can choose the time. You push yourself out at a particular time. Prabhupada says that system is not necessary. Prabhupada explains that particular way. What was it? What was it called? Sat Chakra Yoga. That's not necessary, he said. So that means if you're a humble servant of Krishna, your concept is Krishna. You take me when you want. I'm your servant. I'm here to serve you. If you want me to go somewhere else, it's up to you. So Krishna will say. Now whatever Krishna does, that's auspicious. So if Krishna wants you to leave at a specific time, that is auspicious. That is an auspicious time. Because Krishna has arranged it. Hare Krishna. Huh?
Maybe a stupid question, I don't know.
Well, I'll give a stupid answer. Yeah, like Pitu Maharaj.
Can we somehow do or affect them or influence in such a way to be devotees?
Time you will leave.
Can we leave?
Do you want to? Do you want to?
Yes, I would like to choose the time there I can talk and officially.
Well, if you write the time down and give it to the deities, maybe they'll oblige you.
It would be nice if physically and mentally you are able to.
I have a story of a problem.
Say Krishna, but
King Kulukshetra also, he says, I'd like to leave now. Krishna tvadiya pada pankaja panjarantam adhyayva mivishita mimanas raja prana prayana samaye kapavata pita kantavaro dhanavidho smaranam kustaste. King Kulukshetra said, I'm healthy now, please let me leave now. Let me choose my time, he says. This way I'll be able to completely absorb myself in the lotus stems of your feet. Like that. He was praying like that. Of course we don't know. Sometimes we think, oh, it's better to die this way. We were walking in Caracas with Srila Prabhupada. And suddenly he stopped and he looked down. When Prabhupada would stop and look down, everyone would come around and all the devotees, you know, go around and look what Prabhupada was looking at, you know. So he was pointing to this stool. There was some stool there. So all the devotees are around Prabhupada looking at this stool there, you know. And Prabhupada says, they're thinking when it is dry, it is good. But when it is wet or moist, that is not good. Similarly, they're thinking to die in a violent some way, this is bad. But to die in nice conditions, peaceful, that's okay. That is very nice. But it is the same thing. Death. And another point about death. Yeah. There was thinking, talking about death. You know. We were in the same time we were walking with Prabhupada. And Virabhahu Prabhu said to Prabhupada, people say we worship God because we are afraid of death. Therefore we worship God, he said. So Prabhupada said, I filmed this. You'll see that there's a film of this. And Prabhupada said, so stop this. And we won't think of God. So stop death. You stop death. Or, okay, we'll make a deal. You stop death, we won't think of God. Oh, I don't know. Just some anecdotes about death. If you see here, Prabhupada, I quoted Prabhupada saying that you have to become, you have to practice some system of yoga. Here he says, he recommends, of course, bhakti yoga. And you have to, your practice has to be so intense that when that moment comes, you are ready. After you get a certain age, you know, now many of us are over 60. So, as Prabhupada said in San Diego, I think, Arrival, he said, my warning, he said, my warning is there. So, after a certain age, the warning is there. The warning's come. The body tells you things are starting to not work properly. So that, at that point, one has to intensify one's devotional service. So, to prepare himself. Because at this point, you cannot say when. Right? So you have to be prepared. Just like someone who has a car, he has all these first aid kits and other things in the car, just in case something will happen. So in the same way, we have, as devotees, we have to be ready for that moment when we will have to come to that point of being intensely Krishna conscious. Some you get what?
Accident, and I get involved.
Right.
So, I couldn't see before that I'm going to get the next one. And I'm missing the chance to say Krishna on my death moment. What?
Someone asked Prabhupada a similar question. Said, what happens at the time of death? We've done so much service for Krishna. What happens at the time of death if we can't remember Krishna? So, as Prabhupada said, don't worry, Krishna will remember you. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also, he was pushing this point about being seen by Krishna. We take darshan of the deities. Sometimes it's like a sense gratification. You know? But he said, no, you should go so that Krishna will see you. You should feel it. Or Prabhupada said, you should act in such a way that Krishna is attracted to seeing you. No? And in Caracas also, he said, in Wandering Walk, he just said, the more you distribute, the more you will be recognized, he said. So in the same way, Krishna, he recognized it. Just like I was thinking about this one devotee, Parthasarathi, who was doing Ratha Yatra during the Iraq War at an American military base. So, when everyone heard about this, they started thinking, who is this Parthasarathi? I would like to meet him. So in the same way, when you are doing, wherever you are, whatever little service you're doing, when you do something that Krishna, he sees this person, he's doing, you know, it goes up to Krishna, and Krishna says, that's how you can experience Krishna. Who is this person? Where is he? Where is she? I want to see her. And somehow or other, the devotee becomes in ecstasy and bliss. You know, why am I in bliss? It's because Krishna is coming to him. He wants to see. Anyway, please excuse any offenses, anything I said that wasn't purely. I tried my best with the help of so many of you. Things are coming out nice. Hare Krishna. God. Too long. I guess these are the devotees who don't eat at 9 o'clock. You know? No prasadam. We'll have to go with the with the twins here to get special prasadam. You guys hung out. I'm amazed.